Okay, we'll call to order the council meeting for September 23rd. If everyone would stand for the pledge. Can we have roll call?
Mr. Mayor?
Here.
Mr. Brink?
Here.
Vice President Brown?
Here.
Mr. Chatten?
Here.
Mr. Clark?
He is under the weather, so he won't be here this evening.
President Rose?
Here.
Mr. Salters?
Here.
Mr. Sebring?
Here.
Move on to adoption of the agenda.
Before we approve that, Mr. Mayor, under miscellaneous, we need to add a pay allocation for the River Road Sewer Project that we need to talk about.
Anything else?
Now I make a motion to approve the agenda.
Second.
A motion by President Rose, second by Councilman Sebring to approve the amended agenda.
Mr. Brink?
Yes.
Mr. Brown?
Yes.
Mr. Chatten?
Yes.
Mrs. Rose?
Yes.
Mr. Salters?
Yes.
Yes.
Passes with a 6-0 vote. Next is approval of minutes of the September 9th meeting.
Make a motion to approve the minutes.
Second.
Motion by President Rose, second by Councilman Chatten to approve the September 9th minutes.
Mr. Brink?
Yes.
Mr. Brown?
Yes.
Mr. Chatten?
Yes.
Ms. Rose?
Yes.
Mr. Salters?
Yes.
Mr. Sebring?
Yes.
And those are approved by a vote of 6-0. Next is petitions, memorials, remonstrances.
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to distribute to members of the council who were unable to attend some information of Dr. Phil Stafford's recent presentation in the community about how to design communities that are good for people of all ages and abilities, and how that can make for a better quality of life for everyone. And I think it was a good presentation, some good information here, and I understand that one of the three sponsors of the of his presentation, the Knox County Public Library, is going to purchase his book for people who want to go into more detail about his recommendations. But it was a good presentation. It was co-sponsored by Generations and the Vincennes Knox Preservation Foundation. So look forward to future presentations like this. It created some ideas that hopefully will go forward and make for a better community.
Have anything else?
Go ahead. I was just going to say, excellent turnout for the Pocket Park and the Pavilion Party, or the 4P Party, Saturday night. And thank you to Bad Madison for coming out and playing.
Need to mention that our next council meeting should actually fall on October 14th, but since that is a holiday and city offices are closed, it will be moved to Tuesday, the 15th of October. Anything else? Now we'll go to committee chair reports. Public safety, Councilman Chatten.
I no report.
Environmental management, Councilman Clark. I'll speak on his behalf. We had a meeting this morning, approved the claims, and agreed to supply Wheatland with two dumpsters for their town cleanup. Budget and finance, Councilman Brown.
No report.
Planning, zoning, community development, Councilman Brink.
No report.
Tourism, promotion of the city, Councilwoman Rose.
No report.
Legislative review, Councilman Sebring.
No report.
City services, Councilman Salters.
No report.
Okay. Do we have any report of city officers? Seeing none, we'll move to old business. First is ordinance 19 2013, additional appropriation from neighborhood facilities, $48,683.33.
Let the record show, Mr. Culp, that we did have a public hearing on this today, and no one spoke for or against this. And I'll make a motion to have second reading on ordinance 19-2013.
Second.
Got a motion by President Rose, second by Councilman Chapman, to have second reading of ordinance 19-2013.
Ordinance 19-2013, additional appropriations, ordinance section 1, 2, and 3, appropriating $48,683.33 for software upgrade for the treasurer's office, Robinson Excavation for work of compost location, 811 locating equipment that requires to call land, so it's an okay power utility.
Any discussion?
Call for the question.
Mr. Brink?
Yes.
Mr. Brown?
Yes.
Mr. Chapman?
Yes.
Ms. Rose?
Yes.
Mr. Salters?
Yes.
Mr. Sebring?
Yes.
Okay, second reading of ordinance 19-2013 passes with a 6-0 vote.
Make a motion to have third and final reading on 19-2013.
Second.
Motion by President Rose, second by Councilman Chapman, to have third and final reading of ordinance 19-2013.
Ordinance 19-2013, containing sections 1, 2, and 3 for an additional appropriation of $48,683.33.
Any discussion?
Call for the question.
Mr. Brink?
Yes.
Mr. Brown?
Yes.
Mr. Chapman?
Yes.
Ms. Rose?
Yes.
Mr. Salters?
Yes.
Mr. Sebring?
Yes.
Okay, third and final reading of ordinance 19-2013 passes with a 6-0 vote. Next is ordinance 20-2013, edit payment for Brownfield Grant, SME.
Make a motion to have second reading on ordinance 2013, and also let the record show that we had a public hearing also on this.
Second.
Motion by President Rose, second by Councilman Chapman, for second reading of ordinance 2013.
Ordinance 2013, containing sections 1, 2, and 3, additional appropriation of $32,870.90 for Brownfield Grant, SME, and I believe the city will be reimbursed.
Any discussion?
Call for the question.
Mr. Brink?
Yes.
Mr. Brown?
Yes.
Mr. Chapman?
Yes.
Ms. Rose?
Yes.
Mr. Salters?
Salting.
Mr. Salters?
Yes.
Mr. Sebring?
Yes.
All right. Second reading of ordinance 2013 passes with a 6-0 vote.
Make a motion to have third and final reading on ordinance 2013.
Second.
Motion by President Rose, second by Councilman Sebring, to have third and final reading of ordinance 2013.
Ordinance 2013, additional appropriation ordinance containing sections 1, 2, and 3 for $32,870.98 reimbursable Brownfield Grant payment.
Discussion?
Call for the question.
Brink?
Yes.
Mr. Brown?
Yes.
Mr. Chapman?
Yes.
Ms. Rose?
Yes.
Mr. Salters?
Yes.
Mr. Sebring?
Yes.
Okay, third and final reading of ordinance 2013 passes with a vote of 6-0. Next is ordinance 21-2013, deferred compensation plan as amended.
Make a motion to read ordinance 21-2013.
Second.
And a motion by President Rose, second by Councilman Chapman, to have second reading of ordinance 21-2013.
amended ordinance number 21-2013, an ordinance of the Common Council of the City of Vincennes, Indiana, establishing employee deferred compensation plan. Set up that eligible employees, elected officials, and contractors will be able to defer compensation. The amendment will remove the provider in the event someone else wants to provide those services.
Any discussion?
Call for the question.
Mr. Brink?
Yes.
Mr. Brown?
Yes.
Mr. Chapman?
Yes.
Mr. Clark? I'm sorry. Ms. Rose?
Yes.
Mr. Salters?
Yes.
Mr. Sebring?
Yes.
Second reading of ordinance 21-2013 passes with a 6-0 vote.
Make a motion to add a third reading on ordinance 21-2013.
Second.
Motion by Councilor President Rose, second by Councilman Chapman for third and final reading of ordinance 21-2013.
Ordinance number 21-2013 is amended, an ordinance of the Common Council of the City of Vincennes establishing Vincennes employee deferred compensation plan for employee, contractors, and elected officials.
Any discussion?
Call for question.
Mr. Brink?
Yes.
Mr. Brown?
Yes.
Mr. Chapman?
Yes.
Ms. Rose?
Yes.
Mr. Salters?
Yes.
Mr. Sebring?
Yes.
The third and final reading of ordinance 21-2013 passes with a 6-0 vote. Move on to new business. First is ordinance 22-2013, appeal for an increase in maximum levy.
Make a motion to have first reading on 22-2013.
Second.
Got a motion by President Rose, second by Councilman Chapman to have first reading of ordinance 22-2013.
Ordinance 22-2013, an ordinance of the Common Council of Vincennes petition to appeal for an increase in maximum levy, tax levy, Wabash levy, containing sections 1 and 2.
Mr. Chairman, may I approach the podium, please?
Sure.
Mr. Mayor, President Rose, Vice President Brown, something I'd want to clarify here real quick, get that out of the way, we can get down to me finishing up here, then you can have Ben come in and ask him the hard questions. My point is, when I appear in front of the council during a council meeting, I'm addressing the council. When speaking to the council, I don't recall any kind of promises on any issue. I've not spoken to any reporter on the excess levy appeal issue or used the word or indicated any kind of promises. This is my official position on the word promise. At a previous council meeting, I was asked by the council to have Ben Rager to prepare an ordinance regarding the excess levy appeal. The ordinance before you has been reviewed by city attorney. And also then, in front of you, you have a little packet that prepared for you. And the first part of it has the area of residential homes that are in what is called Vincennes City 2. And I think it's kind of self-explanatory, but if you have questions, we can touch on that. The next page that we have has the title Vincennes City 2 Homestead Properties. And this sheet shows the gross assessed values for the year payable 2013. And if you look at all these, they're basically over the $96,000, which is on the property cap. The first one, Ben will address that, and a couple others here. But this sets the stage for the second fire district to show whose homes are basically in the circles that are on the paper that you have in front of you. The next sheet is the one that shows if these properties were included with City 1 fire rates, for City 1, the amount would be less, because actually everything within that's the red circles, City 2, they would have paid $207,000 for fire protection that they would be paying this year. Now, we're not talking about residential, because the excess levy doesn't deal, I'm sorry, we're not talking about commercial, because the excess levy deals with homesteads. And if it does deal with commercial, they're already maxed out at the high amount anyway. But so what we're showing here, our fire department, which happens to be here probably for other reasons, but they are here, they will most likely be the first professionals called to the scene of any fire within those red circles. Rainy Drive, Arbor Drive, areas on Hart Street, areas on Monroe City Road or Highway 61. It's just the way things happened. Get to the other sheet here, but also where we are here on the amount of money that would have been paid to the fire department from City 2 would have been this amount here. What would happen in the overall fire tax within the city, the rate would have gone down because we had City 2 paying with City 1, so the average person in homeowner, let's say, in City 1 would have had a lower tax rate. Right now, City 1's paying all the freight, you might say, for fire prevention, professional fire prevention for City 2. The fire district, the situation that we're in now, just a little history, back in the 1980s, fire district number 2 was created because one of our state legislators who represented this area got a bill passed in the Indiana House and the Senate that anything that the city of Vincennes annexes after that date would still be the fire district of the Vincennes Township. So, as you know, and it's quite obvious that the city has gone ahead and annexed properties. We can go as far back as the Presto Light factory, which is actually now Lowe's, Rule King across the street, when that was actually the first Walmart to come to Indiana. And then the other areas that we've annexed out east. Now, the east part isn't part of it, but when those first happened in the early 80s, everything was frozen. So what we do out east is anywhere is frozen, that the township gets the revenue. But there's not a mayor in the world that's not going to have the fire professionals show up to anything that's on fire within the city of Vincennes. So it's one of those political decisions that we go, no matter we get paid for it or not. That's much like police and the aid rescue vehicle too. As you know, they cross the city line to even go into the county at times to assist our county cousins that are in need, and they're there to help. But the citizens of Vincennes are the gracious folks that are paying the taxes for those ones in the county to be served. So it's a good deal. The other thing that happened is, if you look on your chart, the first page, it shows up in the northern part of the city, is a little road called Stearns Road that is in Vincennes City 2. This came as a surprise to not only myself, but I guess I can say the mayor was kind of surprised too. He had to look it up for me where it was. And when that came about was when some of you were here when you annexed Squirrel Creek. And to get Squirrel Creek contiguous to the city, they picked up on this Stearns Road, which is, I think it's right before on Hillcrest Extension, before you go over the Highway 50 bridge, there's Benjamin Lane, but beyond it back is this Stearns Road, and that's how they connected under 50 then to go over to Squirrel Creek. So since Squirrel Creek is a commercial, it's not on our red circles, but it so happens the little Stearns property at this address is on Stearns Road, I'm sorry, is part of City 2. And I didn't know it was part of City 2. I always thought City 2 was had to do with Monroe City and Hart Street and Kimmel Road and those areas off of there. But anyway, that's how that got on there. And if anyone who understands about fire districts and how when we annexed the areas out there, let's say that Hart, Kimmel, Arbor, Rainey, and the areas on Monroe City Road, that we knew that was City 2 district. And anything that's basically in there as residential housing, anyone that's knowledgeable about even real estate in Knox County, or let's say Vincennes, know that from the looks of things, that the houses out there are 96,000 or more in price. And 96,000 happens to be the cap for the 1% freeze on, excuse me, on your property taxes. There are three residences in this area that have, I want to get this right, three residences have way above normal exemptions. These exemptions are legal, have been rightly and fully and honorably earned, but they're not something that someone would think of when they're looking at houses of this magnitude. They are very low exemptions, and they're not up to their cap. So based on that information, the conversation that the mayor and I had when we had a meeting with two council members and Mr. Rager, it was a month and a half, and Mr. Rager presented to us the excess levy program that is now before you this evening. And at that meeting, as soon as he said City Fire District 2, well, the mayor and I both thought and commented that should not be a problem, because every house out there, he lives there, I live close enough to throw a rock from there, basically, maybe two skips and I'll get it there, but anyway, that it should not be a problem because of the price of those homes, and they should already be up to their max. So anyway, having said all that, I'm going to have Ben come up here, and I'm going to go back over there where the taxpayers pay me to do my job and this job too. Now, the other thing, I know you know this, but I just want to say it publicly. This is not CULP's program. This is an offer that you all are working on. You instructed me to actually, like I said earlier in the year, I'm here to try to find money for you. My office isn't affected by this, anything that happens on this. It's the citizens and the employees of Vincennes that will be affected by this through better streets, better salaries, things like that. So keep that in mind. And the other thing that is real paramount is, again, this excess levy is like a lottery. When you take this money down, it's going to be there, extra money every year in this amount for till the state changes it. It's not just a one and done program. The county had about $350,000 that they did last year. So every time we do a budget and the state tells us you get this amount of money, they're going to get an extra $350,000 or so, or $300,000, somewhere in there, I don't know. But if we do this, then we're going to get an extra approximately $150,000. And 3% salaries come underneath that. I mean, that would fit. So the two Republicans on your council that spearheaded the raises of 5%, 6%, and 7% for the firemen, in my opinion, should be the first in ones to vote for this, because it's the only way that you're going to get to your situation of advocating 5%, 6%, 7% raises. Doesn't say you're going to get them this year, but you're not going to be in the hole next year. You're going to be $149,000. Ben's going to tell you that. $149,000 or so ahead of your tax money. And since these people not should have paid, but fairly, they would have paid $207,000. And Ben's going to show you where those three that I mentioned, what it's going to actually maybe cost those people. But you got to look at this as the whole package of what the money is and what you all can do with it. So,
Mr. Rager?
Ben Rager. I guess I'm going to start off by talking about your levy. Normally each year you have a maximum property tax levy, which represents the maximum amount of tax you can raise, and the state limits what it can grow. In this particular year, 2014, your maximum levy could grow by 2.6%. It's a pretty hard number. Your health insurance or other appropriations could go up 20% to 30%, but your maximum levy goes up in 2014, 2.6%, and generally. Now, in this particular instance, the city is eligible for an appeal based on assessed property values increasing over the past couple of years. In 2012, I guess it's my understanding that the new assessor came in and started assessing properties which previously had not been assessed. As a result, the city's property value went up 15% in 2012. Now, as the property value goes up, the tax rate goes down. The city's tax rate since 2012 overall has gone down 19%. The city only tax rate has actually gone down 14% since 2012. So I wanted to throw that out there, but I guess because of the assessed value increase, the city is eligible for a levy appeal for taxes payable 2014. This would be a one-time deal in the sense that you may not have this opportunity next year. This would be a permanent $150,000 increase being proposed to the levy each year. Now, you wouldn't necessarily need to use that entire $150,000 each year, but you would have it available to you. Now, I guess, the treasurer, he referred to conversations, and one of the concerns was of the council's increasing the tax rate because of certain other tax increases for payable 2014. So as part of this resolution, or part of this levy appeal, this levy would actually not increase the tax rate for taxpayers within the city district. I guess within the packet, there was this I guess it's your last page of the packet. Where it shows the levy and rate and certified assessed value. And I guess I kind of went over it at the last meeting, but the gist of it is if the city went ahead and shifted COIT to the fire fund, the city's tax rate would go down 0.0333. And rather than decreasing the tax rate, the excessive levy appeal would be 0.0333, would offset the tax rate decrease associated with how it should. Now, at the last meeting, there was also concern about increasing the taxes paid by taxpayers. Now, we've covered taxpayers that are covered by city fire protection. Their tax rate's not going to go up. However, city taxpayers outside city fire protection, their overall rate would go up, but most of them are already, or I guess most of them, or all of them are at the rate caps, was the presumption brought forward. And so if they're at the rate caps, their rate could be 4%, the rate could be 40%. They'd be capped off at 1% property taxes, what they would pay. So we did a little study, and on the second page of your handout, I guess it's actually the fourth page. It says at the top, internal management use only rate caps calculations for Spin City 2 homesteads. Now listed down is each of the properties within Spin City 2 homesteads. Shows assessed values, and then there's a calculation to determine whether or not each of these properties is at the rate caps. Currently now, as Mr. Culp alluded to, three of the taxpayers were not currently at the rate caps. So their taxes may go up in essence with this levy appeal. However, these taxpayers already have deductions where they're paying less than everybody else. For instance, two of the properties are paying $900 less tax, or 75% less tax than similar properties. And their taxes would go up $35 if this were to happen. But they already have deductions roughly $900 greater than the average citizen. So you'd be cutting into that $900, which would be about 3 or 4% up.
How, you know, I'm looking at this, and this is kind of mind-boggling when you're seeing a house that's got a gross assessed value of $112,500. They're paying $227.66 a year in property taxes. How is that?
Because they have certain deductions.
What kind of deductions do they have that would warrant that type of? I mean, you're talking. That's considerably less than all of these other folks are on here paying.
There's certain historical property deductions. There's a deduction for taxpayers over 65 years of age, but even if they had the deduction, their property tax would not go up more than 5%. There's a veterans deduction, so I believe there's one for I guess energy efficient, I guess, type of deduction.
So if you had all of those deductions,
yes,
you would fall in this range.
Yes. And I think the home you're talking about, the gross assessed value is $121,100, but they're only paying tax on $9,200.
That's the other one.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, they're paying taxes on $121,100. Their net assessed value is $9,270, and they're paying $295.57. There was another one on down that was
about
the same.
It
was considerably less. Okay, so what you're saying is those people will only pay, did you say about $36 more a year?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay.
$36 more a year, but they're in the category of people who are paying 75% less than all their neighbors.
Yeah.
So
approximately $900 less, so they'd be paying $865 less instead of $900 less than their neighbor.
Would that go up every year? Or would that be the same every year?
The levy appeal amount, or the
those people, would that be 36 this year, another 36 on top of that the next year, another 36 on top of that the next year?
No.
Right. because when all of this, these tax caps were touted as bringing property tax payments in line with everybody else, I didn't realize that there were exemptions that would allow people to not pay. I didn't realize there was exemptions that would chop it off that much. And for these people, they came out real well on this. And yeah. You know, that's their right. It's like Mr. Galt said, it's legal and it's within the law, so they're taking advantage of it.
So those living in the current City Protection District 1 would feel nothing from this?
No.
Not a thing?
No.
Okay.
But the person living in the $112,000 house is paying $227, is going to pay $36 more a year?
Yes.
Okay.
And if this would pass first reading tonight, it has to have a public hearing?
Actually, it was advertised as part of the 2014 budget, so it was included as part of the public hearing for the budget. So there is no separate public hearing required. Procedurally, the ordinance is in front of you. It would need to be adopted on the Tuesday, the 15th meeting, and then we would go ahead and submit an appeal filing with the state Friday, the 18th.
I'd just as soon have a public hearing, though.
There's nothing to say that the public cannot right. come speak at the next meeting.
Not that I'm aware of, no.
That could. I mean, we can allow that.
Just, right.
And just to put this into context again, I know we went over this at the last meeting, but the excess levy appeal that the city was eligible for is much greater than what we're actually applying for the very reason that we did not want to have an additional tax that would
that's correct
be levied on the citizens. So, and that was voluntary on our part to do that. We were eligible to get it. As I understand, the county went for the maximum and got it, but I just want to put that in context. We're not going for the maximum because we're sensitive to our taxpayers in the community, and I for one appreciate the research you've done that clearly shows that we're not impacting negatively taxpayers, with the exception of these three individuals, which is very minor impact indeed compared to the benefits that the city will get from this additional from the additional resource that we will have to meet our needs.
Mr. Mayor, for transparency reasons, purposes, or whatever, this was in the budget that we advertised in the paper. There was a column for excess levy appeal, and it was in there. I'm not trying to get you to not have your public hearing if you feel that's the thing to do, but I also want to point out there's no trickery going on here, because it was advertised twice in the paper, the full proposed budget that we advertised to the state, so it was there also. But I'll be happy to put it on the agenda if you all desire a public hearing. But and then one other thing, since I have this, I would like to personally thank Mindy Wessel and the auditor's office for providing to Ben and myself basically most of the numbers you see regarding the residences that are in front of you. They've been very accommodating to us.
I would suggest that we do the public hearing, because we didn't know it was in there, so the general public doesn't know that it was in there either. That way we'll make sure everything's covered.
I would agree. Any other discussion?
Call for the question.
Mr. Brink?
No.
Mr. Brown?
Yes.
Mr. Chapman?
Yes.
Ms. Rose?
Yes.
Mr. Salters?
No.
Mr. Sebring?
Yes.
Okay, first reading of ordinance 22-2013 passes with a vote of 4-2. Moving on to ordinance 23-2013, transfer of funds, rental and inspector's office for salary, $7,160.
Make a motion to have first reading on ordinance 23-2013.
Second.
Motion by President Rose, second by Councilman Sigourney, to have first reading of ordinance 23-2013.
Ordinance 23-2013, an ordinance of the Common Council of the City of Vincennes, Indiana, authorizing transfer of funds at the request of the inspector's office, 1-8, total transferred $7,000 for salaries.
Any discussion?
We took care of this in next year's budget, correct? That we won't have.
I believe so, yes. Corrected.
It's kind of additional.
Does Phil want to talk about it? You want to come up and talk about it?
Let's explain it. Just, can you come up and just go over it, please?
All right, with the first year of the plan, I was hit by, you know, kind of surprised because I've been in previous years, and you guys was on the council, three of these were, that didn't correct this. Each year after that, they, in the fall, they went before the council and asked for money to pay for two secretaries in my office. And last year, it was... We had a lease on a car. The Toyota inspector had a car. We had $2,000 extra over that, so we used that. Plus, we came to the council and asked for the appropriation for the money. It was like 78. So this year, I put it in the budget for 2014, but we won't have to do this again. So.
But we didn't get it in last year for this year.
No. No. I don't understand why.
I don't either.
I mean, there's several of the council that they've been there about it for about 4 or 5 years. I don't know. So, anyway, I put in the budget for 2014, so we won't have this problem again. Come up here to ask for funds for to pay for the secretary.
Thanks, Phil.
Okay.
Any other discussion?
Call for the question.
Mr. Brink?
Yes.
Mr. Brown?
Yes.
Mr. Chapman?
Yes.
Ms. Rose?
Yes.
Mr. Salters?
Yes.
Mr. Sebring?
Yes.
First reading of ordinance 23-2013 passes with a vote of 6-0. Next is ordinance 24-2013, additional appropriation from EDIT, BLN, and SME, $13,498.43.
Make a motion to have first reading on ordinance 24-2013.
Second.
Motion by President Rose, second by Councilman Chapman, to have first reading of ordinance 24-2013.
Ordinance 24-2013, additional appropriation ordinance in sections 1, 2, and 3 from EDIT for Bernard and Locke Mueller and Associates, $6,489.50. Second, Ned Black. From EDIT for SMU for Brownfield Grant, $5,008.90. Total is $13,498.43.
Any discussion?
Mayor, what is, I understand the 8489, that's the
second Ned Black project.
Yeah,
the bridge and the railroad and the levee.
What is the $5,008?
Just another brownfield where they've done a phase one or two assessment on a property that through the grant that gets reimbursed.
Right. Okay.
Call for the question.
Mr. Brink?
Yes.
Mr. Brown?
Yes.
Mr. Chapman?
Yes.
Ms. Rose?
Yes.
Mr. Salters?
Yes.
Mr. Sebring?
Yes.
Okay, first reading of ordinance 24-2013 passes with a 6-0 vote. Next is resolution 16-2013, transfer of funds, police department $25,000.
Make a motion to read and approve resolution 16-2013.
Second.
Motion by President Rose, second by Councilman Brink to read and approve resolution 16-2013.
Resolution 16-2013, resolution of the Common Council of the City of Vincennes, authorizing transfer of Vincennes Police Department overtime money to fund 101, a lot of other numbers, overtime to gasoline, amount of $25,000.
Yeah, just want to make sure we got that corrected in this year's budget.
Dusty Lou King, Vincennes Police Chief. We did make a change in the budget. Historically, we've kind of taken from this line and moved over into gasoline at the end of the year to cover the gasoline, and there was a reduction in the overtime for next year, and money switched over to gasoline line on there. So we are hoping, again, it fluctuates, but we are hoping that we are a lot closer to the amount that we need to be at for next year on that. Okay.
Thank you.
You doing okay on your overtime, Dustin? You doing okay on your overtime?
Yes.
Good.
Good. Call for the question.
Mr. Brink?
Yes.
Mr. Brown?
Yes.
Mr. Chapman?
Yes.
Ms. Rose?
Yes.
Mr. Salters?
Yes.
Mr. Sebring?
Yes.
Okay, resolution 16-2013 is adopted by a vote of 6-0. Next is claims.
Make a motion to pay claims in amount of $377,125.69.
Second.
Motion by President Rose, second by Councilman Sebring to pay the claims in the amount previously stated.
Call for the question.
Mr. Brink?
Yes.
Mr. Brown?
Yes.
Mr. Chapman?
Yes.
Ms. Rose?
Yes.
Mr. Salters?
Yes.
Mr. Sebring?
Yes.
Claims are paid by a vote of 6-0. Moving to miscellaneous, first is David Bowmeyer, firefighter's new advanced EMT training.
Hi. We want to go back to school, so we're coming back to see if we can't take you up on your original offer of helping us pay for it, basically, is why we're here tonight. I emailed you guys yesterday several attachments about the new advanced EMT curriculum. We talked about it briefly the last time I was here at the council meeting speaking about it. In that packet, you find cost of the equipment, class time hours, and also an invoice in there of who we've been working with to see about putting this class on. The total was $4,500, and that was for educational classroom time. If you want to include books, I think it goes to, and I have another invoice for you, $5,710 if you include the cost of books with that. That $4,500 was the cost for an instructor to come here and instruct 11 people. If you buy books for 11 people, it goes to $5,710. We're here tonight. I have Chief Becker, who I've talked to about this quite extensively. Also, Elizabeth Westfall is here tonight. She is a coordinator with Pelham out of Bloomington, who we've been working with. She's also on a subcommittee with the state who's in charge of writing this new advanced EMT curriculum. So if there's any questions you have tonight about it, how this works, what we want to do, start asking us, and we'll answer as best we can.
How many people do you think you're going to have take advantage of this opportunity?
Okay. If we do this, we have 11 people that have said that they will go to school for this, and we already have 5 firefighters on the job that are either already paramedic or in paramedic school already that would be excluded from this cost, but would be included in the overall number of firefighters participating in this level of service. For the total number participating when it's done would be 16. 11 would have to go to school.
Okay.
And correct me if I'm wrong, they will actually come on post and train there, and we will incur no overtime on this.
On the training?
Yeah.
Correct. They were never led to believe that they were getting any overtime. So in essence, the firefighters on the job are actually volunteering their time to go back to school and put the effort in. We just need the funding to put the class on. And I think the greater topic past the money is discussions between the chief and you guys on implementing the service. You know, we're facilitating the factual information to you and what it would cost and the names that people that would like to take it. You know, much past that, how it gets implemented would be up to the administration, how they would use it. But I guess a little background on what we're asking for from last time is, you know, the state is changing how we operate. We have different levels of care in the state. We have first responders, basic EMTs, advanced EMTs, intermediate EMTs, and paramedics. There's a lot of levels. They're condensing that. So our level is going away. So we have a one-time opportunity to cross over or transfer our education we carry now into this new education that they are putting in place. So come June next year, if we choose not to do this, then everybody defaults back down to a basic EMT level. And if you wanted to come up again, you would take a full curriculum at a greater cost and time. So this is kind of like just a short window of opportunity here if we choose to maintain this level of service. And I say maintain, it's going to be different what we do now in that above a basic EMT, we do some cardiac monitoring, we do some IV therapy and like blood sugar checks and, you know, check on your oxygen saturation. It's all going to remain the same. In addition, we're going to have drug responsibility, non-narcotic drug responsibilities. So like albuterol and some breathing treatments we have, we can handle diabetic emergencies and so forth. So it's a drug, and that's in your email too, the drug costs that we obtain from Good Samaritan Hospital. So that's kind of we're actually going to move up a little bit in what we can do on scene as far as medical care. So that is the catch with this.
Okay. And Dr. Dagnes on board with all this?
When I say Paula, you know who I'm talking about, is our new coordinator for paramedics and what would be the coordinator for this level of care in Knox County. We discussed with her a couple weeks ago, and Dr. Dagnes, who is the current medical director, told her, I haven't talked to him personally, is going to write protocols or support this because Knox County EMS and other people in the county are going after this class and taking these crossover classes. So they said they were interested in seeing the number of people that took it and to what level, you know, how much involved we got in. Then they would write. Keep in mind, we're going to be taught by the state to do these new level of cares. It's up to the medical director to decide if we're going to be allowed to carry these drugs and how many and what we can do ultimately. Sure. So, but you know, we're here back to ask. I know this is a one-time fee, meaning we're not going to ask for overtime to go back to school, but we're being, and a current advanced EMT is being compensated $1,400 a year to do the level of care that they do, and EMT is being compensated $400. We're under the understanding that it will stay $1,404, but what you're getting is you're getting a little bit better qualified advanced EMT in the fire service for the same price. You just have the upfront cost of going back to school and getting this education. You know, some of the benefits, you know, we've talked about the university prematurely or earlier on kind of offering up their services. I've tried to contact them. I was asked to drop some information off to VU to an office in the technology building. I never heard back. I never met the individual, but I mean, we haven't heard back. And I know Elizabeth is here tonight with Pelham, who would be the facility providing this. They're going to provide an instructor that's going to travel from Bloomington to the fire station and teach us in-house on a schedule that we decide to be as shift friendly as possible and easy on us to get through the class given our work schedule. So okay. But that's I don't know if you guys have more questions in detail about what you need or
we currently. Oh, you do.
Yeah, I want to what if they don't pass this test? Can they take it again?
You mean if we go through school and we don't pass the test?
Yeah,
it's
a state test, right?
Correct, yes, okay. Yeah, okay. It's a state test with, and it's a national registry test, unlike what it was before. You take a test that's based on national standards, not state standards.
Okay.
I believe in the national registry you have multiple attempts.
You do. You have at least six attempts to take the national registry exam, and then you have three attempts to take the practical, which is the second order
of the portion of it. Do they have to wait a certain length of time?
They have the opportunity, but
you know, failing any test is a realistic consequence. You're right. I can't guarantee you an A. I can't guarantee you a D. You know, I don't have that guarantee to you, you know, that just with any education, that is a risk you run, yes.
No, I support this.
Yeah.
But I do have questions.
Yeah, no, that's fine, yeah. They do have multiple chances to pass. So, I don't know. You know, this is new, so I don't know, you know, if it was over the current curriculum, we could tell you, you know, the testing is new, the questions are new, so I don't know how people are going to respond or handle the test. We don't know. It's still something the state's working with, so. The decision's totally up to you. You know, if we get a chance to cross over one time, it may be worth the effort to try this instead of dropping down and wishing you didn't, then have to go back through it all over again with a greater cost incurring later at the end, you know, so. Yeah.
Well, like I say, I do support this, but my next question is, and Gordon, you may want to answer some of these questions. Is this going to affect our budgets from here on out? Is there going to be more expense incurred because of this? Do you see anything else?
The additional cost that we're going to have, you have in your email, and it's the drug cost. That is the only additional equipment that we will. We already have the monitors. We already have the intubation. We already have the IV. And I don't know if this is so much public knowledge or not, but the ambulance service works quite well with us in restocking our medical supplies now, helping us in our cost, which is a benefit. I don't think they can do that with the drugs, though, because there's greater responsibility for keeping track of those. But all those drugs you see listed, too, I can't necessarily promise that we're going to have the ability to use or carry, so you may not have to incur the cost. The cost, I mean, like you see in there on those drug costs, and I don't know if these are per individual dose or per a case on here, you know, but for example, you see $5.36, $6.60, $1.95. I mean, you're not talking. Yeah. It says a box or, you know, I don't know how this is rated on here exactly, but 30 per box at $5.30. I would guess, you know, you're going to have a little blind faith in what the cost is going to be. I don't think you're talking tens of thousands of dollars in new money by no means, or even thousands of dollars for that fact. But that's my opinion, too, so.
You want to say anything?
As far as budget goes, I've already budgeted for this program to happen in case that it did, so that we're ready, so we don't get caught. We'll always provide medical care, regardless of what level. I have no issue with this program going on, other than the fact that if they're going to do it, then I want there to be enough people. That's why we got to this number. Whenever previous administration, we got the rescue truck had an accident, we got rid of a rescue truck. Now, we may have bought two rescue trucks, but the rescue engines, they're huge pieces of equipment and they're in a district. Not going to run two trucks to every medical call, run $1 million worth of trucks to a medical call. So that's why I said we need to make sure that we have enough men, and that we came up and we agreed both. 15 was kind of a magic number, so because it'll take 12 a day, and then if somebody's off, we have that floater going on to take that place. That's what I want. I want 15 men certified to that level. I'm not going to offer half the city some care and not the other half. So I want to make sure that it's understood, and we do, we agree, that we need that amount certified at that level to function at that level. If not, then we'll have to look at something else, like moving to basic. So that's really my thing. I was EMS coordinator at the hospital for 20 years. Don't get me wrong, I love medical care. But if we're going to do it, I want to make sure everybody has the opportunity to have that same service.
Makes sense.
Thank you.
And what the bill and what he's saying is, you get what he's saying with an advanced EMT in every district where half the town would have it, half wouldn't it. I think that even if we do cross over and say you only get 13 or 14 that pass out of 15 or whatever, you can still keep that level of care. We can maintain those turrets and do our in-service and keep those number of guys on the job and then send more people to school at a lesser amount. For example, this is a benefit too, is we talked about as people come on the job, whether they have this level of care or not, as they hire on, they'd be expected and told that they would have to go back and get this, and this is where VU can play into your favor, and that three people a year can go to VU for free for EMT, advanced EMT, paramedics. So as these new firefighters came on the job, if they didn't have it, you would send them to school free of charge through this agreement with the university, and it would maintain and build your pool of people up over time. So You just have to cross over before June next year. If you choose not to use the service until December next year, that would still be your call whenever we'd go into that level of care, but you would have the crossover done in your window time frame with the state, so.
If you started a class tomorrow, how long would it take to get the? And then that will give you 5 months too.
Yeah. Is it June or July?
It's June. It's July 1st, June
30th.
Okay.
Yeah, you'd have those 6 months in there too.
To pass your.
If somebody did fail practical written, you can retest in those 6 months.
Okay.
Yeah.
David, I just want to thank you for all the footwork that you've done with this and laying everything out for us. And I think this is a great asset that we can add to our community, especially bumping care up and being able to provide those things. For the city, and just like I guess the little teacher and me, you pass 0% of the tests you don't take, so
yeah,
you go out there and get them.
Yeah,
we don't currently have a rider on this, so I would ask that the city attorney draw up something for our next meeting for 5710 that we could vote on. $5,710. Oh, I'm sorry. we'll forward those on to you. We'll need a rider on this. We'll need to somehow make this happen. So,
can we vote on it first?
We don't have anything to vote on right now, but that'll be drawn up.
Yeah, I have the most updated invoice. The one I emailed you yesterday was the 45. That was just for classroom education.
Right.
The one with the books, if you want it, I'll email it to you guys again so you can see the one with the book cost.
Right.
They're just bidding the books to you and the cost of the invoice unless you want to try to find them somewhere else. I don't know if that's a...
Do we not?
Let's see what the...
Okay.
Could do a informal support vote. Basically,
I'll take it by your eyes, Mr. Oligan.
Is it at all?
If we said if
go on good faith.
No.
Does anybody have any strong objections to this on the council?
Not at all.
Okay, no, so there's your, you know, there's pretty much six of us here, and Pat's pretty, he'll work with us. He probably won't be against it. So you got six people, no formal vote, but informally, I think we all do support this. Right. There you go.
That's out.
Yeah, I'll add him to the email with it.
Okay. She'll be hitting the books.
Yeah, thank you.
Happy studying.
Thank you.
Okay, next is pay application for the River Road Sewer Project. That is what I passed out to you before the meeting. Basically, the reason this has come before this council is because we received the grant, the city itself, for this project, even though it's the utility service board that's overseeing it. So everything that's paid for out of this grant, the utility service board has to approve, then it has to come to this council to be approved. The this in no way will cost the city money. It's coming out of a $500,000 grant that we received last year. But in order for this to be paid, it needs for your approval this evening.
Okay.
Motion to approve.
Second.
$70,954.20.
Actually, they have to prove the whole amount. It needs to be $90,154.20. And that's because the utility board is already paying $19,200 of it out of their funds, which is part of the matching for this grant. So if your motion could include the amount
Change it to motion $90,154.20.
Second.
Okay, got a motion by Councilman Brown, second by Councilman Sebring to approve the pay application for the River Road Sewer Project. Any discussion?
Call for the question.
Mr. Brink?
Yes.
Mr. Brown?
Yes.
Mr. Chatton?
Yes.
Ms. Rose?
Yes.
Mr. Salters?
Yes.
Mr. Sebring?
Yes.
No, you don't. You guys aren't, again, you guys aren't paying this. This is, because it's the grant, it's through the utilities. They have to approve it, but then since we are the grant, we receive, the city actually received the grant, not the utilities, we have to approve the bill, even though we don't pay. This one will go to Matt Sward, turn it into Okra to get the money. And just so you'll know, there'll be more of these in the future as this project moves along.
We're already sitting on the 19.2. They paid us already. It's in the bank.
That's, yeah, they're just awesome. Okay, anything else? Can I get back with did not, but it will be paid. The Board of Works will be the 15th also.
Motion to adjourn.